Hello and welcome in to the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside Ray Brewer and Case Kiefer, entering week three of the college football season for the University of Nevada Las Vegas Rebels, who are coming off of a 37-3 loss to number 13 UCLA over the weekend. The score, the particular numbers might be a bit of a surprise, but the margin certainly not shocking considering the number closed at 32 or 32.5. It had been, kind of fluctuating between 29 and 32 throughout the week. So it finished right around where the sports book said it was going to. Now UNLV scoring just 3 points. Not what a lot of fans would have in mind, but a lot of that has to do with what happened in the first quarter and where we need to get started, which is quarterback Blake Decker, a senior on this team, turns 25 in a couple of weeks. Nearly led the nation in interceptions last year, and yet we've been saying it throughout the whole offseason. He is the clear number one at quarterback. They need him there. When he goes out, it's going to be a huge drop-off, and we saw that on Saturday. Kurt Palandek, 4 of 15 for 4 yards with an interception, 2 fumbles, one of them lost. He was able to scramble around for 31 yards, but just not even close to enough to what you need out of that position. So Ray, just kind of first to you, we've talked about Decker plenty. You and I both expected that they would have to play without him at some point this season. What do they do now, and what do you think for the long term? I know you weren't there, but UNLV releases today information on Decker's day-to-day. It's a hamstring injury. Currently Palandek is listed as the number one for Saturday's game at Michigan. Just what do you think of UNLV without Decker and sort of the game overall?
Well, I just think without Decker, the offense is at an advantage. I mean, a disadvantage.
Last year, that's what you would have said.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, if you look at all the quarterbacks in the program, Decker's the clear one, and there's a significant drop-off, as we've seen. I think Palandek is a great change of pace quarterback. You saw him come in against Northern Illinois. He was able to gain some yards on the ground, move the offense with the run game. But in terms of actually dropping back and having a pass, not his strength, as I'm sure you guys saw against UCLA. And to put him against the lines at Michigan without the ability really to get the ball to the receivers or get the ball downfield, Michigan's going to have a field day loading up against this kid. If he goes down, and now you're really talking about some problems, because we know the Kevin Thompson kid's not.
Well, Kevin Thompson is out.
Oh,
Kevin Thompson's out for the year with Tommy John surgery, which was something that wasn't UNLV knew, but they are not the most forthcoming with injuries. So we didn't realize until he started looking at the sidelines, okay, what are their other options? And we saw Kevin Thompson there in shorts in a sling. So that's, went and got the information. He's out for the year. Christian Lopez, the walk-on from Green Valley High, was only a partial qualifier, so he's not academically eligible this year. So they currently only have, if Decker is out, they have 2 quarterbacks on the roster, and that's Palandek and true freshman Dalton Sneed, who they had wanted to redshirt, but it's clear now, if Decker's got to miss any time more than the Michigan game, or maybe even just the Michigan game, then that redshirt is going to get pulled for Sneed. Case to you, let's assume that Decker can't go this weekend. Do you just throw Palandek to the Wolves in a game where you're already a 30-point underdog and just hope that Decker's okay by Idaho State? Or do you, go with Sneed right now and, just take whatever you can get and burn that red shirt?
I mean, I know very little about Sneed, but I was seeing Palandek last, it was just very ugly. It's a tough situation. I think you're starting with Palandek either way, but if it's going the way his first few possessions did, or I guess the whole game against UCLA.
Yeah, it didn't really get better.
I mean, you might have to think about just – it could just get so ugly. I think UCLA, I felt like kind of really laid off the gas a little bit too. I don't know if Michigan would do the same. I think you would have to think about burning the redshirt. It was so bad. I mean, 4 yards passing. He basically gifted them a pick 6 touchdown. So I think you start with Palandek. Hopefully you hope maybe these 4 quarters of experience he has now between the first 2 games, maybe he'll look a little better having another week of practice. But if you don't get a first down in the first quarter, which I think is definitely possible with this offense, then maybe you start thinking, like, we got to have someone else in there.
Well, here's the deal. Regardless of who your quarterback's going to be, Deck or Snead, Palandek, you're not winning the game. So when you're evaluating whether or not to pull a kid's red shirt, you know, keep that in mind. If Decker's injury is severe and he's going to be gone for the long term and you need the Snead kid to come in and play, then he's available. I will tell you this about Snead. He was a Bobby Houck recruit. He had committed to, you know.
The only Houck commit.
Yeah, and UNLV honored the offer and the commitment. And the kid had no other offers. So initially I thought he'd be bad, but he's been very impressive in practice, and he's got some moxie about himself in the huddle, and they loved his work on the scout team and what he had done. And I think he was ahead of Thompson already.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, so he was getting offers his senior year, though, wasn't he?
No, UNLV I thought was the only one.
I thought it was at the time that he – because he committed before his senior season playing down in Arizona, and then he had just a huge year, and, you know, a lot of his – he's kind of an undersized kid, and it was system stuff, so I don't know, like, what it ended up – I thought Pac-12 teams kind of came in and at least were sniffing around more.
They were sniffing around, but he never had any offers.
Okay.
So his thing is he's listed at 6'1", 180. That's probably real generous.
Yeah.
He's to me –
He's a small guy.
But he slings the ball around and he's real confident in the huddle.
He's very fast
and he's put up some big numbers, so we know he could get the ball downfield. Again, you know, UNLV, if you play every freshman, you're going to never develop any player depth. But what could you do? I mean, you don't want to just, you know, muck this season. You know, because there's winnable games left, especially the Reno game. You want to go up there and be competitive.
You keep focusing on Reno. Can we talk for a second about how bad this league is? Forget Reno. Look at Wyoming. That team is garbage. They lost at home to North Dakota and Eastern Michigan, who, if I remember right, Case, there was one power rankings you had preseason where the only team rated below UNLV was Eastern Michigan.
They've been the worst team in the country the last couple of years.
They came in getting 13 points and just smacked Wyoming around. So that game looks very winnable at Fresno State, at Reno. Like, this league, we already knew it was bad. It's worse than we thought. The only victory they got over the weekend was Air Force against San Jose State. So in everybody played. So all 12 teams were in action. The other 10 teams all went out and lost.
Another funny one was New Mexico got a ton of steam in the sports book, closed a 6-point favorite and got smashed by Tulsa.
That was such a weird line too.
Not good for the Mountain West. I will say, going back to the other topic, hearing you guys talk makes me think even more. You just got to not worry about the red shirt and just pull it if it needs to be pulled. Because, you know, listening to you guys and how much it was a guarantee for Decker to get hurt, he's not seriously hurt right now. It really seems like he's probably going to get injured again at some point this season. So then what are you going to do if Palandek continues to struggle? Are you really just going to lose these winnable games because you're trying to keep the red shirt? I think they should be liberal with getting rid of that.
The Lopez kid, partial qualifier, you know, he is a kid that was under-recruited at Green Valley because of his size, and he was injured his senior year, had an awful senior year. Now he's got a chance with injuries to be in the mix at UNLV to have a chance to prove himself, and you shoot yourself in the foot. That drives me nuts how it's so easy to be a qualifier.
For watching Christian Lopez for 3 years, honestly, there's no doubt in my mind he could have fared better on Saturday than Palandek.
I don't know how he could have done much worse.
That's true. It's not setting the bar too high, but I'm not saying he's ready or anything, but he's in it. I think he would be an intriguing guy if he could play.
Could I go back to one of my previous arguments? Where did Palandek play before UNLV?
Laney College.
What level are they on?
That would be junior college.
Enough said.
John Lotulelei?
Listen, there's exceptions. Cam Newton, I totally get it. But
Cam Newton was only at junior college because he stole a laptop.
Listen, there's some exceptions. That's an exception. 99 out of the 100 kids that go to a JC before going to a D1, they're at a JC for a reason.
I'm not going to argue with you on Palandek, but you also made the same point with Decker last year after you had anointed Decker originally. So it's back and forth.
Decker, when he graduates, is going to be a great salesman. because he comes in and he's just got that sparkle in his eye and you really believe him.
Sure, sure, let's go.
What was the name of the other JC quarterback that Bobby had got maybe 3 or 4 years ago?
Leibowitz? Or did
he
come in?
He came in. It was the kid that was – he was supposed to compete with Herring, I believe. He was in the Herring-Sherry mix at one point.
I'm going to let you look that up as I
– I'm Googling right now.
Keep us moving forward. So it is at Michigan on Saturday. I kind of came into this a little split on the red shirt talk with Snead, but kind of as we're hashing it out, I think you pull it, and I think you let the kid go play at the big house. If he's going to have to sacrifice this season that, you know, was supposed to be about development and kind of his long term, if he's going to have to play at some point, and I do think he is, or at least if you're trying to win, he is, because I think he's today a better option than Palandek, then let him go. Let him have this experience. What kind of a kid gets into college football and doesn't want to go play in an environment like that, even if it's your first game, maybe especially having it be your first game, whether he gets the start or not? I think that'd be kind of a cool experience. And you're not planning on winning this game if you're being realistic about it. So you're just trying to get whatever positives you can, and health has to be at the biggest concern with that, although there's not, as we saw with Decker, there's not a lot you can do about that. That's sort of kind of just left up to chance once the game actually gets going. But other than Decker, injuries have been kind of okay through these first 2 weeks. The goal has always got to be get out of the Michigan game as healthy as possible, because then you hit a stretch where you can actually win some and you know, make whatever the season is going to be, you can make that during kind of the 5 week stretch right after Michigan. But I'd say pull the red shirt on Snead. Did you figure out who the quarterback was?
Sean Riley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that did not work.
That did not work
very well. Have either of you guys been to the big house? Or what's like the biggest football stadium that you've been in?
I went in 2001, the year Ohio State won the national championship, to Washington State at Ohio State. My family is big Ohio State fans. My dad, quite honestly, likes Ohio State more than us. And we went to the
more, game. More than UNLV or you as a
you,
as
me
his
and my
child?
Mom, yes. Yeah, his family. And we went Claret's freshman year, and he was just awesome against Washington State. But the thing that I remember about the whole trip was the band was playing at St. John's Arena, the old basketball arena, before the game. And they had more people in the band to watch the band perform pregame than UNLV gets at home games.
Yeah, I've been to Bryant-Denny and Sanford Stadium a bunch. They've got to be one of the two big. And, I mean, it's definitely just a whole different world. So it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of these kids that have never been in something like that respond.
Yeah, most of my college football life has been spent in the Unidome, which I think seats about 16-8, last I remembered. So I'm kind of like used, like the UNLV crowds.
You
that,
say
that,
that
come
like
out.
People know where that's at. You might want to go a little more specific.
In Cedar Falls, Iowa, for Division I-AA high-quality football, where this past weekend Northern Iowa ranked 12th in the country, took down Eastern Washington 38-35. Really thrilling action.
Who
there.
Scored like 40 points on Oregon. I also have to correct myself. I think Kyle Field is the biggest I've been to. I think it's like might be like third or fourth now. And that's another one where it's so loud, the press box sways. And I'm sure it has a lot of similar ingredients to what UNLV is going to get at the big house.
Yeah, I know I've talked to a few different kind of fan groups that are making the trek out there. This is, you know, the reason that you put a game like this together from UNLV's perspective, obviously the money that they're going to get from it, $1 million. What, in 2017 is the trip to the Horseshoe to play Ohio State, and they're getting, this is off the top of my head, I think 1.4 for that game. So you do that for the athletics department, but it's also just a chance for your fans to go see something really cool. You know, this place is going to be completely full. Parking, I have heard, is just an enormous mess. And so you get there as early as possible, do the entire tailgating thing. You know, this is what Ann Arbor, filling that place, that's kind of what a college football atmosphere, a college football afternoon, that's sort of the idyllic that you think of. And so I think it's a perfect opportunity for UNLV to go get a slice of that, go enjoy it, and get whatever you can out of the game. Michigan, not as good a team as UCLA, but in this spot against, you know, probably a backup quarterback for UNLV. As we said, Decker is listed as day-to-day, but they have put Palandek at the top of the depth chart. Snead is number two. And so I already thought that we wouldn't see Decker this weekend, and so today's release kind of lends itself to believing that even more so.
The one thing that really scares me about Michigan is if you can pull out any positive from the UCLA game, and I think there's probably only two, it was that they broke some long runs, they were able to run, and UCLA's run defense isn't as good as Michigan's. Michigan's run defense, like, the best part of their team. I think they were second in the nation last year in yards per rushing attempt. Everyone's back. So if the Palandek experience goes like it did week one, I mean, I just think a shutout is extremely likely, given what Michigan does it defensively.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, they really were shut out this past weekend. You know, the 3 points, it was a field goal with 3:06 remaining. The only reason to do that was so that they could say that they didn't get shut out, but there was nothing competitive about it. But I asked fans right after that, you know, do you like that or would you rather see them go for it? And most of them said they'd prefer the points.
See, I got the opposite because I think I have more gambling people following me. So they got retweeted a bunch and people were like, Sanchez is an idiot. Get him out of here and stuff. So it just depends who you ask. But I think it makes sense that fans wouldn't want to be shut out. I get that.
Yeah. I don't personally care about, like, if it's my team, there's no difference to me between losing 37-0 and 37-3. So I'd prefer to take a shot at it. But that's not like some huge issue. I don't really have a problem with it. The fake field goal I have a bigger problem with, and not the aggressiveness. I love that. They were down 10-0 at the time and they're setting up for about a 35-yard field goal. I think that was sort of the range. And then Troy Hawthorne, the holder, former quarterback, now a defensive back, was the trigger man and it went absolutely nowhere. If you're going to go for it on that, just go for it. Line it up and try and push it in. You know, I get that field goals weren't going to be enough in that game and all that stuff, but why? I don't know. I've just always thought that coaches try and get a little too tricky, trying outmaneuver themselves sometimes. If you want fourth and short, you're trying to score points. If you want to get that first down, line it up and do it.
So judging from that Troy Hawthorne pass, he will not be the emergency quarterback?
Well, he had no chance.
Yeah, it was not his fault. The play didn't go anywhere. I would be on the opposite side of Taylor that I like the fake field goal better than the settling for a field goal when you're down 37 points.
Hold on. I'm not saying that. But we agreed up in the press box that if you're going to go for it, just go for it.
Yeah, you could just go for it. I guess I didn't hate the call where everyone else was just mocking it relentlessly, and I feel like that was part of a holdover from the Halk era.
Oh,
like,
it's
who knows?
100%.
I mean, Tony Sanchez and his staff, I'm sure, did their due diligence. I'm sure they looked at film. Maybe they thought they had a really good setup for a fake field goal there. I can defer to him in that, and I'm not going to poke fun at him and go crazy about that. Like, I'm critical in other areas, as you definitely know, but that was one where I thought maybe it was a little overboard.
And if it worked, we're talking about it differently, certainly. But my general philosophy on that has always been I love the aggressive play calling, but just go with your offense. Try and actually do it that way. As we look at this weekend, I think 34 is the number I'm seeing. Michigan favored, so it's pretty much the same as last week. Again, the competition not as good, at least on paper, as UCLA, but going to the Big House is going to be a completely different experience for these Rebels. So, Ray, as you look forward to this, well, first, because you said your family's kind of big Ohio State fans, I think you've absorbed at least some of that. Is there any kind of Michigan hatred in you?
Yeah, I mean, one of our mutual friends is a Michigan guy. And
he is.
When we were...
Is he a friend? Are we calling him that?
Yeah, he's my friend. Yeah.
I was joking.
Yeah, no, but so we've gone back and forth. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I have a low opinion of Michigan. I have a significantly lower opinion of Reno, the people in Reno. And the University of Reno, I think it's the armpit of the West, and it's no commonality that they both wear blue. But, yeah, I think if UNLV would beat Michigan, my dad would go wash Tony Sanchez's car. Well, listen to this. My mom, who 70, I think you might have met her.
Yeah.
She's she's a sports fan by marriage, but she loves watching Tony Sanchez's Rebels. She says she's made it interesting, and she thinks he's cute.
Hey, how about that?
Yes. So good job, Tony.
So wait, are you laying the points or taking the plus? We'll go with 34 as the
number. I'm not going to give out my official pick until I find out who's going to be throwing the ball for this Carlin Gray.
That's fair.
What a cop out. We record on a Monday.
What do you want me to do?
You made your UCLA prediction 2 weeks early. You didn't know who was going to be throwing the rock. So who was going to get hurt?
So are you taking us out to lunch then for that?
I guess. I mean, whatever. Supersize it, Taylor. Go ahead. It's on me.
Yeah, that was a big recurring argument, and I'm glad that UNLV did not get
the back
door.
If you would have told me that Blake Decker goes down.
Says the guy who's guaranteeing he's going to get hurt. If you tell me UCLA threw downfield twice after their first drive.
Okay, well.
We can play this game all day with any game on the board.
All I'm saying is that, okay, yeah, I guaranteed you Decker would eventually get hurt. Anytime we wager on a UNLV game the rest of the year, I'm like, well, I don't know, because Decker hasn't got hurt yet, and I said he's going to get hurt, so I can't make a pick.
Wow, these are just some bad excuses. Just say, I'm sorry I lost UCLA. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Oh, I heard Moore has already called Jostens to get his national championship ring designed. They're great. UCLA's awesome. Rosen's going to be in the league in 3 years. He'll be on my fantasy team.
He probably will be in the
league. Yeah, most likely.
I agree with you.
I'm not making my official pick. I'll put it on.
So you still hate UCLA. That's good to know.
I'm just telling you right now, your hearts are going to be broken.
All right, what are you going with, Case?
I'll actually give a pick, even though I agree it'd be nice to know the quarterback situation. I can't believe for a second straight week, but I might lay the 34. I don't think Michigan's going to let up at a home game. Harbaugh's, if I remember right, I think he ran up the score back when he finally got the Andrew Luck teams at Stanford. I think that UCLA, I mean, they were running like the same few plays the entire second half, it felt like to me. I don't think Michigan's going to do that, so I would have to lay the 34 if I got to pick a side in this game.
Yeah, as of right now, I will also lay the points with Michigan. I'm operating under the assumption I don't think Decker's playing this weekend, so you're looking at either Palandek, who we saw what that was this weekend, or a true freshman going into the big house. I also think that Harbaugh is just going to go for the jugular in a way that Mora and UCLA were not looking to. So UNLV's defense through 2 weeks, I think, has been a pleasant surprise overall. Obviously, the numbers aren't great and all that, but you've seen just a lot of good penetration up front. They're getting some key third down and fourth down stops. They gave up a touchdown on UCLA's first drive and then only 3 points the rest of the first half because that other seven came from Palandek just flipping the ball to one of UCLA's linebackers. You know, it's kind of played out these first 2 weeks that as the game has gone on, they just get tired, kind of run out of gas, all this, and they eventually wilt and get run over. But they're standing strong for quite a while here. I think there's a lot of positives there, and yet I just got to go with the home team here. I think UNLV, it doesn't matter, really. Assuming Decker doesn't play, the score this weekend is not going to matter as long as you can get out somewhat healthy, because then your season really starts. You know, go there, take your money, get the experience, enjoy it, get out alive, and then try and get win number one of the Sanchez era against Idaho State.
I was really pleasantly surprised with UNLV's defensive backfield. Thought a bunch of those guys made good plays. And I just want to get one bonus pick before we sign off. Brewer, is BYU plus 16 the bet of the year?
I don't know, but I've cashed on BYU the last 2 weeks on miracles.
Well, if they're getting 16 against a team, if they're getting 16 against a team you hate, it's got to be 3 weeks in a row, right?
Yeah, I tell you what, I like the new quarterback. Magnum is his last name?
Mangum.
Same thing.
I actually typed it Magnum once on it.
And all right, since I have a reputation for being a Mormon lover and BYU backer on ESPN Radio, let's let it be known here, at least on the Rebel Room, that I hate BYU and would never bet on them 3 weeks in a row. But Ray seems to love them. So that's the Mormon lovers over there now. For Case, for Ray, I'm Taylor. We will have everything for you from Ann Arbor, Michigan this week as UNLV heads to Michigan.